Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Introducing Rate Shield Approval. If you're in the market to buy a home, Rate Shield Approval locks up your rate for up to 90 days while you shop. It's a real game changer. Learn more and get started at rocketmortgage.com/android. And by ZipRecruiter. Hiring is challenging, but there's one place you can go where hiring is simple and smart. That place is ZipRecruiter, where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. Try it for free at ziprecruiter.com/android. And by LegalZoom, August is National Make-A-Will Month, so now it's your turn to take care of your family and assets with an estate plan. For special savings, visit LegalZoom.com and enter AAA at checkout. Hello and welcome to All About Android, episode number 382, recorded on Tuesday, August 14th, 2018. We're your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
And I'm Ron Richards.
And we are without Florence Ion this evening, unfortunately. Yes. She's super swamped. She couldn't join us today. Ron, it's good to have you back, though.
It's good to be back. Sorry I missed last week. I was actually on a plane during the show. Actually, I was sitting on a plane at the gate, sitting through a 2-hour rain delay cursing because I think I took off right as the show ended. And I was like, I could have done the show. And I know.
Well, but you never really know. Like, that's awesome that you would consider doing that. You never really know what you're going to get from an airport, to be honest. Yeah. So it's probably
there was thunder and lightning. So they were on a gate hold for about 2.5 hours.
That must have been very, very frightening.
That was all right.
Joining us today is the triumphant return of Michael Fisher, a.k.a. Mr. Mobile. How you doing, Mr. Mobile?
Good evening, my little pepitos. I'm feeling wonderful. Thank you.
Very nice. Yeah, everybody, I don't know if you realize this. I certainly did last week. Last week, we had Phil Nickenson on, Modern Dad.
Yes.
We had Miriam Jouar on, Tank Girl. Yeah. This week, we have Michael Fisher, Mr. Mobile. What is it with everybody having a moniker that they like go by?
Have
now?
A nickname these days. 2018 is the year of the nickname. You gotta stay on brand.
It's like Android superhero team or something. I don't know. I love it,
Jason,
though.
Jason, you used to have a nickname and you absconded it for the full name approach.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Raygun was back in another life, Raygun was my DJ name.
Oh, it was DJ Raygun. There it is.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I love that.
It's what people don't know is Mr. Mobile is Michael's DJ name too. So
indeed, yeah. It's not as I can't hold a candle to what is it, the soybean inclusions?
Yeah,
Well, everyone knows my DJ name is Marshmallow. So
Marshmallow. It's true, and you were on stage with DJ Marshmallow. Or
I'm still trying to figure out how to get royalties of that.
Yeah, I think that ship has sailed. Hey, Mr. Mobile, we have a voicemail for you. Are you ready
for
to
me?
Hear it? Yes, for you. Are you ready?
I'm as ready as I'll ever be, sure.
Yeah. All right, go ahead and cue it up, Josh.
Hi, this is Isabella. I am 8 years old. Do you think Mr. Mobile looks like Iron Man?
Isabella is 8 years old and thinks Mr. Mobile looks like Iron Man.
Oh, I have that is such a sweet compliment to receive from such a sweet sounding voice. Thank you, Isabella. Thank you very much.
I got a message from Phil Nickenson, aka Modern Dad, your superhero alter ego, who basically said, "Check your voicemail, dude."
Now it all makes sense. Yesterday, he's like, "You still going on All About Android tomorrow?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Good." I'm like. Okay.
All right. I don't know if I should be scared or what's going on here.
Thank you, Isabella.
That is awesome. Thank you, Isabella, for sending that in. This week, we've got a lot to discuss. This is one of those news-heavy weeks, primarily because Samsung, when they have their big announcements, they make it news-heavy. So we're going to talk about the Samsung Galaxy Note 9 and all of the associated things that come with that. Google has an aggressive location tracking kind of approach, and that seems to be getting big headlines today. More Pixel 3 leaks. Xiaomi has the new Poco phone line, the Poco Phone F1. Palm's tiny little phone. It's a cute little nubbin. PUBG, Mobile Lite, and a whole lot more, plus some of your emails. All that is coming up today. Real quick, though, before we get into everything, just a reminder, you can subscribe to this show. You don't even have to wait until the end of the show to do it. Go to twit.tv/AAA and subscribe, and you'll get all of our episodes going forward, and we hope that you do. And with that, Josh, by the way, welcome, Josh. Victor is out this week, so Mac and Josh is back in action. How's it going, Mac and Josh?
DJ Mac and Josh here.
That's right.
Even he's got a nickname.
Jeez. That's right.
What is going on? All right, DJ Mac and Josh, it's time for the news.
Don't touch that Galaxy Note 9 S Pen built-in remote, because it's time for Android news.
Oh, you've been working on that one, I know.
Wow. He was almost running out of time, though. You could see the end of the timeline coming up.
I think Mac and Josh times pretty well. He knows.
I do. It's a lot of practice.
This isn't his first rodeo.
In front of the mirror for like an hour. Yes. Earlier today.
Yeah. And knowing Mac and Josh, that's exactly what happened, right, John?
Yeah, it actually is.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though nobody can see me.
So our first bit of news, I know I feel like there are two camps in the world when it's related to Google. There's those of us who are just like, yeah, Google's going to do their thing. And then those of us who are like, I don't like Google invading my privacy, yeah. Tinfoil hat, yada, yada. Well, this one is for you.
Whoever you are.
Recently, an AP investigation concluded that Google tracks you even when you don't want it to. This is happening on both Android and iPhones. Princeton confirmed the findings and it found that turning off location history isn't enough to opt out of Google tracking. Google says on its support page that turning that off means that, quote, the places you go are no longer stored. AP says this isn't true. When you open up maps, Google takes a snapshot of your location. Some searches also capture latitude, longitude, even if the query has nothing to do with location. Google says it provides, quote, clear descriptions of these tools and robust controls so people can turn them on or off and delete their histories at any time. Google says users should deactivate, quote, web and app activity to pause all types of location tracking. But if you do this, this can interfere with how certain apps work because it's so baked into everything they do. Basically, you know, where it's netting out is that if Google tells a user this is how you disable tracking, there's an opinion that it should actually do that as opposed to have to go through other hoops. Mr. Mobile, what do you make of this? Are you now anti-Google because of this tracking stuff, or is this no surprise to you?
Yeah, I moved back into my Lumia 950 a few minutes ago. It's Windows Phone till the end now. No, it's, you know, I think there's here's the thing. At first, my response to this was, listen, Google, Jason, how did you put it? Google's going to do what Google's going to do, or Ron, whoever said it. I was like, yeah, I kind of factor that into my thinking when I'm using an Android device. Location tracking is a big part of how Google works. On the other hand, though, when you have a toggle on your phone that even though it doesn't outright say, you know, what it maybe should, when it seems to say, we will not track you if you turn this off, and then that doesn't turn out to be true, it's just a really not a good look. It's not a good way to build a system, and I think it should be made a lot clearer than this.
Well, I mean, I don't want to be – I'm playing devil's advocate because I don't want to be like the pro Google one, which I often tend to be. But it says it's not storing the places you go are no longer stored, right? That's what happens when you turn off the location history. That's all it is. It's not saying that the longitude of where you are isn't being stored, right? And also – the data of where you are isn't being stored to track you, the person. It's being stored and used by Google to track you as a data point in a much, much larger data point in the world to calculate walking distance, to calculate things like that and the intrinsic DNA of that magic sauce that Google gives us by using their apps. This boils down to where you're going isn't that interesting to Google. It's where everyone's going. That's what's interesting.
I think I have no problem with that. I think most people don't. I think the question then becomes, how difficult is it to de-anonymize that data if later on, say, not Google, but, you know, the law enforcement wants to get access to that info? And like, sure, would be nice if we lived in a world where you could just flip a switch and turn all of it off rather simply.
Well, we do. It's called the power button.
Nobody does that.
Oh, yeah. No, you're right. It's a very practical way to live in 2018 without a phone.
There's literally a switch on the device that can let you do that, not be tracked. It's just,
yeah. Just go to 7-Eleven, get a burner phone. What's your problem? Yeah, fair.
Right. Jason, what do you think of this? I imagine you're falling on the side of mad at Google.
Well, no. I mean, I think right now with tech companies, it's prime time to get mad at Google for something like this. This has probably been happening for a long time. And I don't this is just the way it is. I do, though, think, and I agree with what you were saying, Michael, about the fact that if you go into your phone and you see a location button there and you turn off location, I think the general user is going to do that and think, great, now my phone is not tracking my location. It kind of just gives you that impression, right? There's a button there that is no longer lit up that's tied to location, so you kind of think you're in the clear. The problem is the general user is not going to understand on a deeper level that certain things also place these little data points out there and why they do. And right now, in particular, it's a very, political time for technology companies. So this article is a little bit, clickbaity and the research. I'm not saying that it's unimportant research, but right now is a really good time for people to read this and then get very upset about it. So I don't know if that makes it right or wrong. I'm okay with it, but I understand this already behind the scenes is happening, and I've kind of already like given into that and allowed that to happen. I think there are a lot of people that would really like to think that they can lock their phone down and not be tracked, even if they have nothing to hide, right? Because the whole nothing to hide thing, that's kind of a throwaway point. It kind of doesn't matter. If somebody doesn't want that to happen, they should have the ability to do this. And I think the way it is right now, it's very confusing in like a technology company sort of way where it's like, well, yeah, we give you the information. You just kind of have to know how to get in there, because just turning off the one obvious thing isn't enough. You actually have to know to go into settings and go to this other place and turn this off. And by the way, if you do that, it's going to break other apps. So why would you do that? Because then everything else breaks. And I don't know. That I think puts Google into a poor place, especially in light of all the trouble that they're having in places like the EU.
Absolutely. It sort of makes me nostalgic for the days when you could drop that notification bar, look at that toggle array, and hit anything and be reasonably assured that it was doing exactly what you describe. It was, if you turned off Wi-Fi, it would turn off Wi-Fi. It wouldn't turn back on until you asked it to turn back on.
Right.
But now, of course, I still remember in like 2012, it was a long time ago, the very first Verizon wireless phone that was like, okay, here's a dialog box. Even if you turn Wi-Fi off, we're going to turn Wi-Fi back on when we detect you're in a proper zone. And I'm like, wait, is this the future? Is this like switches that turn themselves back on after I don't want to participate in this? Throw it away.
That's the future. I mean, and what you're talking about is also another, feature of Pi, where it's very aggressively, it can recognize that your Wi-Fi is turned off, but if it knows that you're close to Wi-Fi access point that you trust, it will turn your Wi-Fi back on and automatically connect you. And some people are upset about that because it's like, well, I turned it off for a reason, And sure enough, there's a setting in there that you can do that. But yeah, our phones are getting smarter in a lot of different ways. And companies like Google understand how to pull, how to pull maximum advantage out of those holes, even, just through the simple signals that they send, that you do a search and that, drops a latitude and longitudinal point on a map. How is a regular user going to know that that happens? But Google knows that it happens, and it's using that to, fund its business. That's just how it stays in business. Yeah.
So. But then the further question is that, okay, yeah, understood, because Google has such a footprint on phones and with Google Maps as an app and as both Android and iPhone. But I mean, are we looking under the hood everywhere else? Right? Do we think Apple Maps isn't also doing this in some degree? I mean, I don't know. I'm not accusing that they are, but I'm just saying that this is the generation we're in now, is the knowledge and data generation, where the product is that data. And that data is what's driving a lot of business decisions around applications and all that sort of stuff. And so it's that's the currency now.
Yeah.
And I think Google has to be especially careful about that given Apple's stance, because Apple has decided to make itself the privacy friendly company, right? I mean, every time Apple has a keynote, it's like, now listen, here's 15 minutes on how we're not like Google and your data is yours and stuff. And Google has gotten a lot better over the years at saying, like, well, this is your data. You can take it when you want. Here's what you turn off. And it's so much better than it was even 3 years ago. I think this is one of those things that really just didn't get clarified, and it should be.
Yeah. I could definitely see Google responding at some point and tightening this up so that it's a little bit clearer, because, you know, they do that when, maybe not all the time, but they do that when they're called out on certain things that are complicated. What I don't want, and maybe we're already there, but what I don't want is the mass confusion that I get when I use Facebook and try and go into their settings, and you get lost in a labyrinth of settings there, and it's like, how could anyone, you know, keep that straight? And Google might already be there, but I know that Google has done a lot to really try and be more upfront and present, and, you know, present their settings and privacy settings and all that in better ways. In very recent weeks, actually, they have different consoles that they've introduced.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Put your tinfoil hat on or off, depending, however, whatever you choose.
Hey, you know what? If it looks good on you, keep it on.
Yeah.
It brings out the color in your eyes. Awesome. Hey, this guy, Michael Fisher, on Twitter tweeted about save the date for Qualcomm. What's this about, Mr. Mobile?
Man, you tell me. All I know is that I got to show up somewhere at 9:10 in the morning in San Francisco. Oh, wait, never mind. Or if you're in the UK, if you're in Europe, it's October 9th, right?
Yeah.
That's the day to show up for this.
Boy, that's clear.
This just dropped in everyone's inbox on whenever I tweeted this. And that's literally all we got. I mean, I don't think there was any text accompanying the images, right? We have obviously a wearable-centric event, September 10th in San Francisco, according to the location tag on the watch face. Not San Diego, so interesting. I mean, it's a Qualcomm event, but I guess they want to be where the people are.
Yeah,
and I'd have heard nothing else.
So, so what I'm wondering is there a Snapdragon wearable processor that's been expected at this point? I know for the longest time it seemed to stagnate. I can't remember the exact system on a chip that was used for the last 2 or 3 years in wearables.
The 2100.
Have we already seen the next version, like the upgrade, or is that what we're expecting to eventually happen?
We have not seen that upgrade yet, and that is precisely what a lot of folks are expecting. I think some people were even of the opinion that when the 2100 was announced, it was already outdated because it was built on the Snapdragon 400, you know, platform, just with some optimizations, as I understand it, for power management, which is what you want on a, you know, smartwatch.
Sure.
So, I mean, so this is actually quite exciting, because I think it's, to me at least, because Wear OS has sort of stalled, and we've been waiting not just for Wear OS 3 or whatever that's going to be, but silicon that can run it really well. Mm-hmm. So this could be something pretty cool.
Yeah, it's definitely been in like a long time coming to get some sort of a significant upgrade on the chips that are powering these watches. I guess it still remains to be seen how many people are actually buying these watches, but anyways.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's affecting it. I think it's a category that, I mean, there's got to be enough people buying it to justify the manufacturing of it, and they're just out there. And I think people are buying them that are not power users like us, because it's a neat new kind of watch, and they use and whether they keep using them or not, but they're buying them. So
absolutely.
People are weird. All right, we got an email, and I missed the show last week, but as everyone knows, that Android 9.0 was dubbed Pi.
Yeah, a show to miss, Ron.
Yeah, I know. Such a bummer. But not to stop, though, because the longtime watchers know that for the past year, we've been trying flavors of Oreo in the spirit of Android 8.0 Oreo, and you can stay tuned to the end of this episode if you're watching the video to see me taste one of the penultimate flavors. As we're winding down the Oreo machine. But Mike wrote an email about this very topic, and he says, since Android OS 9.0 Pi is now released, will you all try a new Pi flavor every week? In fact, here is a link to Wikipedia that has a nice list of pies, maybe enough to get you through a year worth of podcasts.
Personally, I think plenty.
My favorite pie is pecan pie. Keep up the great work, Mike.
Pecan pie.
Now, Jason, I want to say first off, this is a damn fine, nice list of pies.
This is a complete list of pies. I mean,
this is a damn fine, good list of pies. That said, I don't want to give away what our plans are until Flo is back. So, Mr. Mobile, I'm sorry. We're just going to have to stay tuned until next week when we reveal what our pie plans are.
Damn fine by me. Pie.
I just saw you scroll past a thing that said bacon, egg, and cheese pie, which is, I know what my plans are tonight.
I mean, there's a lot of pies on here that aren't just sweet pies. You know, that's the thing about pie. It can go in any direction.
Yeah, here's the thing. I mean, like, I imagine because of the whole Android dessert thing, we got to stick with the dessert pies. But man, I love a good pot pie. I love a good pot pie. I love a good pizza pie.
You like pies with alliteration, with the letter P alliteration.
I do.
Pie, pizza pie, pot pie.
I do.
A Mississippi mud pie.
But
steak
I do have
kidney pie. My God.
A nice place in my heart for a cherry pie, for a damn fine piece of cherry pie. Just like they serve at Twin Peaks. So.
Awesome. Of course you'd get that in there.
Of course.
So we're going to have to, you know, we're going to have to put our heads together and figure out what our pie plan is.
Oh, no, we got the pie plan. We're going to reveal it next week, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm a little scared of the pie plan. But yes, we will reveal it next week. We'll figure something out.
I'm drumming up excitement, Jason. You got to subscribe to the show and tune in next week to find out the pie plan.
The whoopie pie. Ooh, I forgot about the whoopie pie.
I do love a good moon pie.
Oh, yeah.
Moon pie's good.
Moon pies are great. Oh, man.
Banana cream pie. Who could forget the banana cream and the chocolate cream pie? Seriously. It's one of my favorites. All right. Let's stop talking about pie, the kind that you eat. We'll probably talk about pie, the kind that you run on your phone, in a little bit. But first, let's take a break and thank the sponsor of this episode of All About Android. And this sponsor is Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Let's talk about buying a home for a minute. Because as I'm sure you've heard, interest rates, they're rising. There's a lot of unpredictability when it comes to buying a home right now. It's causing a lot of people anxiety. You know, they don't really know where those interest rates are going. They don't know if it's going to be more difficult to secure a loan down the line. Well, our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. They're calling it the power buying process, and it's really simple. Here's how it works. Quicken Loans will verify your income, your assets, your credit. It takes less than 24 hours, and they're going to give you a verified approval. This gives you the strength of a cash buyer when you're talking about real estate and the real estate economy. Cash is king. Once you're verified, you qualify for their all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. So first things first, they're going to lock up your rate, whatever the rate is at that point, for up to 90 days while you shop. And here's the best part. If the rates happen to go up during those 90 days, you're right, your rate is going to actually stay the same. It's not going to go up with the rate. But if the rates happen to go down, your rate will also drop. So that basically means you win either way. Your rate stays the same or it drops. It doesn't get any higher than that. It's the kind of thinking you would expect from America's largest mortgage lender. And to get started, it's really easy. Go to rocketmortgage.com/android. Rate Shield approval is only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. That's rocketmortgage.com/android. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support. Check it out. All right, this is really the main event of today's episode. It's time to get into hardware. Samsung did their thing. They did their very subdued event. Although I wasn't in the audience, so I don't know how the whole Bixby Homes everywhere playing music into the auditorium actually sounded, but they kept themselves restrained. They didn't go, and which they have done year after year now. They've really kind of toned it down, and it's been really good, I think, for them to do that. But they announced a number of things. The top of the list, of course, is the long-awaited and eagerly expected Note 9. which apparently launches on August 24th. I put in my pre-order, so I should be getting it somewhere around that time. $999 for 128 gigs, $1,249 for the 512 gig model. I'm not sure if this is the first phone with built-in storage of 512 gigs, probably the first like premium, like major handset to do this. But anyways, Michael, you were at the event. You were surrounded by Samsung in all of its glory, and you walked away from the event with a Note 9. So you've been spending some time with it. What do you think?
I have, and I just noticed that mine has some scratches in the corner. That's a shame.
Yeah.
But what color did you pre-order, Jason? I have the blue one here.
I went with
the yellow
wristband. Yeah. I went with the blue. Like, I actually liked the purple or whatever they're calling it. But I wanted to get the contrasting S Pen to show off.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Actually, that was one of the few. So to answer your question, the overwhelming feeling I had was of utter frustration that we live in this leak-driven culture, because I do occasionally like to be surprised, and there's not a single thing on stage that surprised me for anyone who's been to Reddit.com, you know?
Yep.
The one thing that I didn't hear them say on stage is that, speaking of the S Pen, that they're going to sell them independently in different colors. That was one of the leaks that just didn't – I asked about it, and no. So I just had this fantasy of a world where if you wanted a red S Pen to go with your blue phone, you could get it.
Today's a red S Pen day. Tomorrow, yellow.
Well, you want to – I mean, Michael's a very fashionable guy. You got to make sure you got the right S Pen to go with your outfit.
Sure.
And,
it's got a match tie. Yeah, I get it.
Oh, you know what I want? I want an S Pen that changes color based on, you know, the temperature, like the longer you hold it. Like
hypercolor S Pen.
Hypercolor. Oh. Yeah, exactly. No, my initial impressions are really, really very – very, very good. I am fascinated to hear what you guys think of this phone, because it seems like everyone I listen to who has some commentary, even there at the event, it seemed to be evenly split between, oh, this is iterative and boring and it's just the same as it's always been. And then the people who, and I'm in this camp, who are kind of excited to see the Note family returning to its roots a little bit. It's thicker and heavier. And that is what so many people have told me over the years is what they want. The phone manufacturers keep saying, people want thinner phones. We've got to make them thinner. And all the fellow geeks in my comments are like, no, we want thicker phones as long as they last longer. So finally, Samsung put a 4,000 milliamp hour battery in this thing, made the screen a little wider. It feels to me like a return to form for the Note line that I really haven't seen since the Note 4, maybe. That's my initial impression.
Yeah, I mean the Note series and Florence Ion and I, Flo and I, were doing kind of live coverage of the event as it was going on, and you know, I think we made this comment then, but the Note series is really targeted. I mean, its specific audience is power user, right? So that's why you've got the high price category. You've got the most stacked specs that you can really get. I mean, it's right up there at the very top. So, you know, people who are buying into this, they want power for gaming. They want, you know, very, very nicely tailored to the S Pen sort of multitasking functionality. And you know, this definitely has expanded on that with the Bluetooth LE integrated into the S Pen, which I think is going to get more people actually using it, right? Some people get the Note not because they want the S Pen, but because they want just the larger form factor and the power and all that kind of stuff. Well, here's another reason to use the S Pen, maybe not as a drawing device, but as a controlling device or something along those lines. I think that was a really smart move. And then also kind of baking the DeX functionality more into the phone via a dongle. I think that's a really smart idea for DeX. Like, but both of those things were Samsung saying, hey, we've got these really cool things. Not everyone is using it. How do we give people more reason to use it? And they did this. And I thought that was really smart.
I love the DeX dongle. I think it's great. And the thing is about this phone is that, I mean, if you're watching the video, you see we're taking a look at the website and saying your phone is your computer. And that is really the direction. When people recently, somebody asked me where I see technology going in the next like 5 years or whatever, which is just the worst question in the world. But what I was saying is that it's going to evolve to the point where the phone is the main device, desktop, laptop, whatever it is. You're going to snap your phone into a display, and it's whatever display you need. You need a larger display, you snap it into the desktop display or pop it into DeX or something like that. And everything you need is going to be on the handheld device. And this is a step in that direction. And it's really a step in the direction that no one else is going after.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, like, yeah, like well- Google. I mean, Google's kind of just said, hey, everything's in the cloud. You can have a Chromebook. You can have a phone. You can all get to the same stuff no matter what. But they're still dependent on independent devices.
It was kind of interesting to me that actually Huawei beat Samsung to the punch in terms of eliminating the dock, right? Because you have you had decks of previous generations where you had to plug it into the big dock with the fan. And by the way, this still works with that just fine. But it was not until this release that Samsung said, okay, well, now you can take the Samsung adapter, the HDMI to USB-C. It doesn't even need to be the Samsung one. I bought this for $30 on Amazon. They charge $50 for it on the site. You can find cheaper ones. Yeah, Natch.
As always.
And I just did it, of course. And I just did it to prep for the show, as a matter of fact. I looked at the whole outline. I followed all the links. I made some notes in Dex in my office here. And, yeah, I think that future that you describe, Ron, is really, really compelling. And the phone actually can handle it quite well, even if you're running something on the big screen and want to do something else on your phone while you're in Dex. You can do that. It works well as a trackpad. You can take notes with the S Pen. It's really, really, really interesting. And like I say, Huawei beat them to it with whatever it was, the Mate 10 Pro that did this first. But Huawei just sort of seemed to be doing it. And this is just me talking, so it might not be true. Huawei seemed to be doing it because Samsung did it and they wanted their phone to be able to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas Samsung really is leaning into this and now has three Dex accessories, which is difficult to say. And is not necessarily pushing it hard, but definitely not ignoring it like Huawei seems to be doing.
Yeah, and I think very smart not requiring, in this case, not requiring an extra like specific to Samsung sort of piece of hardware, right? Like the dock was something that you had to know like why you were getting Dex prior to this. Or why you wanted to use it or what you might use it for. Now it's as simple as an HDMI adapter, and it's not just an HDMI adapter that has special sauce in it that Samsung created for $50. It's any HDMI adapter, and boom, it recognizes it that the juice to make that work is basically inside the phone, and now you have more reason to check that out and see if it's more useful. Connect a Bluetooth keyboard to it and you're good to go.
Yeah, it's so much easier to carry around this little adapter than it is a big old dock,
for sure. Yeah, you can keep that in your backpack, store it away, forget about it, and then it's there when you think about it, as opposed to this big, chunky piece of gear.
But yeah. I think also the increased RAM, right? The insane 512 gigabyte. I mean, we have our north of $1,000 phone, right? With a $1,249, right? But the Fortnite aspect and the game, the cooling system for the games, and just like picking up that, we've always looked at the Note as a productivity device, but also acknowledging that gamers could use this device, I think is genius. And what a better way to do it than to go with the hottest game right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Their exclusive only lasted a couple of days. It was short-lived, but it was enough of a commitment,
enough of a say, hey, listen, you could play this game on this phone like that. It was just, it's the statement.
I that's apparently the hottest game right now. And I'd never even opened it or installed it on any device of any kind until the Note dropped, and I played it for maybe 15 minutes, got killed a whole bunch, didn't know what I was doing. But I just wanted to see how that cooling system held up. And I had seen PUBG played on the Note 8, and whether this was the Note 8 fault or PUBG, I don't know, but it didn't run very well. It was obvious the phone was really doing all it could. And the Note 9 didn't really seem to have any trouble running Fortnite at all. The only thing I noticed was that it got really hot and the battery probably would have died in less than 2 hours.
And it got really hot even though it has the water carbon cooling system to keep things cool.
Yeah, right. It was like, I think that's an argument for it, right? Because it's taking that heat away from the 845 and like radiating it out onto my, kneecaps or whatever. It was in my lap.
Totally.
So.
Well, and when you're talking Samsung and heat and larger battery, like these are all things that give some people PTSD. So, they're doing these things to, increasing the body size, because, that was one of the things that people pointed to as far as the Note 7's battery issue, is that things were too compactly tight for the large battery that was inside. So expanding that, having the water carbon cooling system to cool things down. Yeah, it looks like a nice device. I'm actually really looking forward to playing around with it. Hopefully I'll get it right when it drops and I can live with it for, you know, for a little while and see if I use the S Pen any more than I ever do, which is not very much.
Can I, since you brought that back, I just one more thing on the S Pen. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was really struck by the fact that every single feature they pointed out in the S Pen can already be done by the wearable that I think we're going to talk about in a second.
Oh, yes.
Or any smartwatch, really.
Yeah.
But I have to say it is so much simpler when you want to set up a group shot and you don't have somebody to hold the camera and you just prop your phone up against something, take the pen with you and hit the button. It's very cool. It looks like a gimmick. It's a great demo thing, but in real life, it's really great if you take a lot of pictures with your friends.
Because your phone, so does when you launch the camera on the Note 9 and then you pull out the S Pen, it automatically knows like, oh, you're pulling out the S Pen. It's in camera mode. That now is assigned as a shutter button. Like it doesn't automatically, there's no real setup for it.
That's correct. That's the default setting. And you don't even need to have the camera open. If you have the S Pen set to unlock the phone remotely, which I think has some security, you know, not everyone will want to do that, but you can just set the phone up, leave it. And when you're ready to take the picture, press the button to unlock the phone, press the button again to take a photo, double click it to switch the cameras around. You can do all kinds of stuff.
So, okay. They mentioned that. So explain how that works. Press a button to unlock the phone. Like it quite literally like without any authentication or whatsoever, does that only work if you don't have like a fingerprint or face recognition set?
Thankfully, no, it's smarter than that because I was worried about that too. And I haven't really figured out how to put it in the words yet, but I think I can. If the phone is not presently unlocked, or if it hasn't been unlocked in a certain window of time by biometrics or your PIN, then simply popping out the S Pen from a Note 9 and trying to unlock it won't do it. Like I haven't touched this phone in probably 5 minutes and I'll pull out the S Pen and it gives me the memo thing. But if I just press the button to unlock or press and hold. It'll just open up the camera. But if you have unlocked the phone recently and then you just, you know, it times out while you're setting up the shot or something, pushing the button will unlock it if you have a specific toggle enabled.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I don't know what the timeout is. I kind of have to do a little more research on that.
But that's nice. I did wonder about that. I was like, and all anyone would ever have to do is pull out the S Pen and unlock your phone. And I figured it was smarter than that, but
thankfully it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see here. Oh, and by the way, that charges inside the phone because it is Bluetooth LE. So there is this very small battery in there, full charge within a minute. I think 40 seconds, they even said. And that'll last for half an hour. So there you go.
Yeah.
But you were talking about a device that's on your wrist, and I can only imagine that you're talking about a friendship bracelet. No, you're talking about the Galaxy Watch. That's the Samsung friendship bracelet. The Galaxy Watch, circular bezel, very familiar kind of design, but they have two sizes, interchangeable straps. They said 60,000 watch faces. Of course, there's tons of them. HD AMOLED display, water resistant for swimming, LTE connection. And they touted several days on a single charge. I think they said something like 4 to 5 days on a single charge. How in the heck is that possible?
Yeah, if you put it in power saving mode and don't use any smartwatch features, it'll last forever.
You can turn off the location tracking too.
Turn your display brightness down to low and yeah. But I mean, even if you did that, you know, 4 to 5 days is a long time. We're used to seeing that with like e-ink displays, maybe, but not these Wear OS devices.
Yeah, the larger of the Galaxy Watches has something like a 470 milliamp hour battery. It's a big battery for a smartwatch. So I could, and I don't know what you guys have experienced with the current generation, the Gear S3 Frontier and Classic. But as I recall, those gave me slightly longer run times than my Wear OS devices did. I think I got 3 to 4 days on the bigger one of those already. So a substantially larger battery. Yeah, this might be the first watch in a while to kind of get into Pebble territory.
Right. Yeah. That's what everybody wants. What'd you think, though? Did you get a chance to see that at the event?
I did. I played with them for about 20 minutes. And, I'm a watch guy. I'm a watch fan. I think this line of watches is very good from Samsung. Tizen runs really well on the wrist. And even the app ecosystem, Golf, doesn't really bother me much because I'm a notifications guy. But the style is so familiar it's almost like a refresh of the Gear S3 to me. It's great. Now a smaller option. I think that's awesome because people, you can't just keep telling people, buy the S2 if you want the smaller one. That doesn't work. Right. So it's great that they made the smaller one, but it seems to me that the smaller one is still not quite small enough for some people. I know I wish Flo was on because I know she would have some thoughts on that. We talk about that every time we talk about watches, but I don't know. I kind of expected something a little more on the physical front.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, of course, I think the other major thing to talk about is the Galaxy Home, because, of course, Samsung's going to get into the Home Assistant thing, and they have Bixby. They made some announcements about Bixby getting smarter, you know, less focused on just device control, more focused on being an actual all-around voice assistant. And then they announced the the Galaxy Home, with a focus on sound. You know, it's a very unique design, but I'm assuming that they didn't have these in the event where you were at. But what did you think about this and kind of the unveiling of all these speakers in the room making all the sound that you heard?
They had 160 of them on stage, and hearing that amount of sound pumped into a space the size of the Barclays Center, wherever we were, was pretty impressive. But the very first thing I thought was like, well, yeah, if you put a bunch of Home Maxes up here, I'd probably hear the same thing. I don't know. The notion of something powered by Bixby, I think, will be pretty compelling if you have a Samsung household in a year or so. But it's so bad. In my experience, the Bixby software they pointed out it is not final on the Note 9. It won't be final until, I think, launch day. But, you know, I was standing in a Dunkin' Donuts, to bring it back to Dunks. I asked it what the closest Dunkin' Donuts was. It pointed me to one 2.7 miles away. It got me lost on the way to a convenience store, and then it told me it didn't understand wake me up at 8 a.m. I know it's not final, but geez, guys, right? And then you want me to buy a speaker that uses that as its brain. For me, it's not. I don't really like it.
Yeah, I hate to tell you, but we have one in studio.
Oh, what?
What? Oh, look at that! There it is. Yep.
There it is. There you go. Can see it's authentic. It has AKG labeling on the front.
Oh yeah, all metal.
There it is.
Isn't it beautiful?
Oh, lovely.
This is actually a grill. And actually, I think on the inside, there is this an Echo Dot or what is this? I don't even know what this is, but
here's the great thing about the Twit crew is that the reliance on prop comedy is just amazing. Is that Echo Dot tied down with USB cables?
Well, it's taped in there.
I thought it was taped in USB cables.
This is top quality design here. You can tell of the threading of the tape around the grill. But yeah, you know, this is probably almost as good. No,
almost certain.
Sorry, I had to do it.
It was great.
All right. Well, we'll wait and see. I'm curious to hear how it sounds and all that. But yeah, it's hard for me personally to get excited about Bixby. I don't think I'm alone. Ron, you have some interesting rumory stuff.
I do. Yeah. No. I mean, you know, the leaks and all the speculation leading up to the Samsung event really are paling in comparison to the leaks and speculation, or just straight out spoiling of the upcoming Google event, which is 2 months away from a Pixel announcement. And yet we've seen the Pixel 3 XL clearly white, completely revealed via an unboxing video. According to this, it's a 6.7-inch display, according to AnTuTu Stats. Who revealed this. It's 0.3 inches bigger than the Note 9, by the way. So if you're looking, the battle of big phones is continuing. The unboxing video contained a USB-C Pixel Bud. It includes USB-C Pixel Bud headphones. A friend of the show, Jerry Hildebrand, says this may be the first Google phone he doesn't want after seeing it. Disappointed with mandatory gesture navigation, which is bad for accessibility, and also with the notch, which is clearly visible and quite thick in this one. It's thin, but it's pretty thick.
It's a deep notch.
It's a deep notch. He says he says the notch is stupid and lazy, especially if a Vivo of all companies can do an edge-to-edge display without a notch, which is a fair commentary. So before we move on to the other speculation, Michael, what do you think of the Pixel 3 XL now that we've seen it in all its glory?
I saw a tweet yesterday quoting Steve Litchfield, the legend, who apparently has a new name for this, and I don't know if you guys have heard it before. It's no longer a notch on this phone. It is, in fact, a bucket. That's all I can think of when I look at this thing. I'm not anti-notch necessarily, but boy, it's just huge. It almost looks comical. So I can't really take my eyes off that. I think a 6.7-inch display, though, is really amazing. I can't wait to hold this thing and just be kind of, you know, blown away by that in particular.
Well, I remember the Nexus 6 was a gigantic display, and that thing was hard to manage, but it wasn't as narrow as these are. So probably the aspect ratio here is going to make a 6.7-inch phone not seem quite so unmanageable.
Hopefully.
Yeah. But I don't know, the bucket thing just kind of really doesn't bother me that much.
I'm on my first notched phone with the OnePlus 6, and it has not bothered me in any capacity.
Yeah, you just need to get used to it.
Yep.
I am very curious about, with these leaks though, about the fact that Google is sticking on the back with a single camera and relying on the AI smarts, which are obviously very good at processing images, because I feel like time and time again, the Pixel 2 XL in my case gets the best photos of any smartphone that I've used. But they're opting for dual front-facing cameras, and I'm curious why that is. Maybe it has something to do with face scanning as one reason, but I mean, that's part of the reason probably why that notch is so deep, because it has to make room for those two big cameras sensors there.
Yeah, that'd be my guess as well. As someone who carries the 2 XL as a camera primarily, and it's just adores it, I would really like to see Google experiment with a second lens, because right now to get a wide angle shot, I have to slap on a moment lens, and that's it's great glass, but it's heavy and it's another thing to carry. It would be great if it built it in like the LG does the G7.
Yeah, it's really nice to have a wide angle option on a phone if it's
totally
done well. I completely agree. Yep. That's actually super usable, but so is an optical zoom, you know. But and meanwhile, the Pixel 2 or the Pixel series has done really well on the zoom front, and that seems to be all done through their AI working on the back end too. So it's just amazing what you can do with software now. Software used to be the lazy approach to fix bad hardware, and now it's you know, it's great.
Yeah. Well, so in addition to the Pixel 3 XL, we had a couple other leaks that there are going to be two new Pixel books that are going to be announced, codenames Atlas and Nocturne. The Atlas could potentially be a 2018 Pixelbook refresh, while the Nocturne could be a tablet detachable Pixelbook form factor with a separated keyboard, codenamed Whiskers.
Whiskers.
And also Chrome OS could dual boot into Windows 10 with an Alt OS codenamed Campfire, which that's crazy.
That's crazy.
So would you, a dual booting Nocturne detachable Whiskers Campfire? There you go.
It's a cute character. I mean, and would I do the dual boot thing? I'm sure I would check out the new Pixel book. I'm not sure. I guess I'd have a reason to.
I think these speculation of these products are actually real. I think we as Android and Google people underestimate whatever impact Microsoft is having in the marketplace with the Surfaces. With the Surface tablets, with the Surface books, all the Surface Pro and all that sort of stuff. And like, we see it on TV, you watch Grey's Anatomy, you watch other shows, they're all using Surface stuff. Microsoft is placing these in the marketplace for awareness for a reason. And admittedly, I haven't gone anywhere and really seen it in, you know, in action, but I gotta wonder if whether it's schools or enterprise or whatever that is moving enough units at Microsoft for Google to say, hey, we need to compete with this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as someone who uses the Pixel book pretty frequently when I go to a cafe, if I'm in a writing phase and I'm, you know, banging out a lot of scripts, I love that device. But I think I would find it quite useful to be able to dual boot into Windows 10 if I need to run something, you know, that for some reason that can't run on Chrome OS. That I have not run into that situation very often, but it would be very excellent to have that versatility as another selling point if I were Google trying to move more of these units.
Yeah, and if the hardware inside of the Pixelbook can support that, then why the heck not? I mean, that always ends up being the reason that people don't, you know, decide that a Chrome OS tablet is not right for them, because they're like, yeah, but there's just certain things that Chrome OS cannot do, like audio editing or video editing or whatever. But if the internals are good enough and you can dual boot into Windows 10, great. Although I remember way back when on Mac you could dual boot into a Windows partition. I think they called it Boot Camp or whatever, and that was cool. But I used it way less than I ever thought I was going to. I was like, I remember early on, I was like, yeah, heck yeah, I'm going to have both a Mac and a PC. That's amazing. And then I just never used the PC partition. But
yeah.
So, but nice to have
a little more fascinating as a theory, but nice to have the option. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the Poco phone or the Poco phone. I'm not really quite sure. Xiaomi has apparently a new sub-brand called the Poco phone. The Poco phone F1 will be the first device in that sub-brand. As you can see here, Android Authority has a hands-on. Focusing on speed. So Snapdragon 845, 10 nanometer process, 6 gigs of RAM, 64 gigs of storage. This does have in its design a more plasticky back, and that might be, you know, when you're talking about bringing the price down, if you're boosting specs in one area, maybe you have to kind of trim down or find ways to cut costs in other areas. Or it could be durability. Some people think that the plastic back devices, you know, are more durable. There's also a liquid cooling system in here, so Note 9 fans aren't the only ones to get that. 5.99-inch IPS LCD display at a full HD Plus resolution. There is a bucket up there, or notch. I'm not sure what we're calling it anymore, but it looks more like a notch than a bucket. 12 megapixel and 5 megapixel rear-facing cameras, 20 megapixel front-facing camera, 4,000 milliamp hour battery. So large battery. Wow. In some ways, I mean, there's a lot missing, but in some ways, this has some similar characteristics to the Note 9. Fingerprint sensor, Android 8.1, around 430 euros, which translates to roughly around $490, $500, right around there. So kind of a mid-range, you know, same price category as something like a OnePlus device. What do we think? Why is Xiaomi coming out with a sub-brand? What is the reason for coming out with a sub-brand instead of just releasing something under the Xiaomi brand?
I don't know. It seems to me that the Xiaomi brand itself carries very little weight in the West. I think a lot of people don't even know how to pronounce it. It's kind of like Huawei's old problem from years ago.
Yeah, that's true.
So the idea of establishing a secondary sub-brand makes a lot of sense to me. I think coming to market with a device like this is a little confusing. I sort of expected you, I didn't know the price, I expected you to say something closer to the mid fours. I understand there's a lot of specs in that thing, but it just doesn't look like a phone that is aspirational no matter what's inside it. So it's a confusing offering to me in a world where the OnePlus 6 exists and I have the red one 40 feet over there and I know where it is at all times because it's the most beautiful thing, you know, in this room. So...
Well, and Ron, you have the OnePlus 6 now also, right?
I do.
That's the phone that you're using.
I do. Yeah. And it's been great. I love it. I think it's great. It's a great little phone.
Yeah.
Well, it's big.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Not a little about it.
Not a little about it at all. But yeah, it's a solid, solid, good phone. And I don't mind the bucket. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. You bring up a good point, Michael. The Honor brand has done... You know, has been, I think, a reasonable success here in the U.S.
Yeah, it would have been if they'd stuck with it a little longer.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. But anyways, yeah, maybe the Poco phone, it's probably Poco phone. This is probably going to the same markets though, right? I feel like Xiaomi kind of works in their markets. It's really probably not going to even reach the States.
Right. That would be my guess. I don't really know what the plan is here. It's taken OnePlus, six generations just to almost come to U.S. carriers, right?
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Xiaomi has an uphill battle. Ron, I love that you get the obscure phone this week.
Well, also, for some reason, there are phones that are codenamed or named with P's. But so this has got a lot. This particular thing, after talking about the Poco phone, we've got a lot of P's, and this is an honor of Pi. So bear with me as we say, Palm may be coming back with a mini pre So Android Police, there's another P, has leaked renders of the Pepito.
Oh, the Pepito.
Pepito.
Pepito. The Pocophone.
Pepito. It is the first Palm phone since 2011. And get this, it is 3.3 inches with a 720p LCD screen. What year is it, folks? It's got an 800 milliamp battery running Snapdragon 435 with 3 gig of RAM, 32 gig of storage, running Android 8.1 Oreo, not Pi. And it's got titanium and gold options. And guess what, folks? No headphone jack. And I got to tell you, I love this little guy. This little guy is this I want to know the price point on this sucker because I'm considering it. It's 3.3 inches.
Considering it for what exactly?
to carry in my sock. It's
like, as a backup to carry with you everywhere you go.
Yeah. Everyone's going bigger. Samsung, Google, they're all going bigger. Palm, they're going smaller.
Yep.
You see, the world is zigging and they're zagging.
You got to differentiate yourself somehow.
That's how they're going to survive.
Well,
I demand that you make air quotes every time you say Palm, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What was once known as Palm, now Palm.
Yeah,
this just reminded me of the Jelly Phone, if you remember the Jelly Phone from months ago, tiny little Kickstarter. And that display... I just put the link in there for you, Josh. That display was 2.45 inches, so it was even smaller. So, yeah, take that. Mm.
You guys remember the HP Veer from 2011, this little guy?
Do you have it in your hand?
I do. I have it in my hand. It was the mini Pre.
Oh, look at that. Look at that guy.
This was the full-size Pre, and this is the Veer. Yep. And funny thing about the Veer, I actually kind of adored this thing. The Veer had a larger battery than the new Palm phone is going to have.
Yeah. Can I ask you something about that? Do you keep that within reach at all times, or was it because we're talking about the Pepito? It's just
I never let this out of my sight. The Veer is always in my sock.
I was going to say, of course you carry it in your sock.
You never know when you're going to need it. You never know.
Yeah, exactly.
And obviously you keep it charged because it was powering on right there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's my daily driver, bro.
Oh, okay.
I was really surprised that this battery actually powered it up, but yeah.
No kidding.
There
you go. Oh, and having that little slide action, that's really
the
satisfying
best.
Best.
R.I.P. WebOS.
And I got the jelly here.
I have the jelly at home. I should have remembered to bring
it. I just feel like the jelly is not a good name for a phone. I don't know. It's just, small.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
You see what they need to do in these little websites where they show video people using it. Where's the guy putting it in his sock? That's what I want.
Because you can. the Palm doesn't have is a headphone jack, and that's one thing that this form factor is actually relatively good at, is being a full fledged, little portable media device for like working, for going to the gym or whatever, and to have a headphone. But of course, Ron doesn't care because Bluetooth. So.
Yep, there you go. Bluetooth works great. I love my Pixel Buds.
Yeah,
put the phone in your sock.
I love my Jabras. I've really come around on Bluetooth. I have to say,
it's come a long, long way, and the improvements they've done for pairing and stuff like that have been really impressive. And you don't have then when your phone when your sock phone is in your sock, you don't have cables running all the way up your leg to your ears when you're running or something. So
it's really great. The big bummer for me is anytime that I get little dropouts or little skips or whatever. And the Jabra, I think there's 65T Elites that I use, those never drop. So I don't think about it. You know what I mean? It doesn't occur to me that I'm on Bluetooth. And
it just works.
They fit well. They sound great. So when it works, it's great. But when it doesn't, it pisses me off.
I like things that just work, including our next sponsor.
Good work.
And we want to thank the fine folks at ZipRecruiter for providing a service that not only works, but is sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And let me tell you, no BS. This isn't, I know we're talking about the ads and sponsors, but I'm literally in the process of hiring people right now. And it's hard. It can be a nightmare at times. And it's hard to find qualified candidates. It takes a long time, too long. When you need to hire somebody, it seems like every day that you don't have them hired is another day that you're less efficient or less productive than you want to be. And often when you do post a job, you get too many applicants. It's like overwhelming. I spent all weekend going through resumes and reviewing that and all that sort of stuff. It's time I could be doing other things, better things for my business. And ZipRecruiter.com/Android makes it easy if you're like me and you need to hire. So ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. They've got powerful matching technology, and ZipRecruiter will scan thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply for your job. That's amazing. So as applications come in, ZipRecruiter will analyze each one and spotlight the top candidates so you never miss a great match. And that's my biggest fear when I'm hiring, that I've got this sea of resumes and it's like finding a needle in a haystack or a diamond in the rough. You don't want to miss that perfect resume. And luckily, ZipRecruiter's analysis will help you not miss out on that great candidate. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. It's amazing results and lets you get your jobs filled that much faster. So with results like that, it's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at our exclusive web address. That's right, our exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Android. So just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Android, try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Android. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Thanks, ZipRecruiter, for making it easier to fill jobs. ZipRecruiter.com/Android.
Thank you, ZipRecruiter, for filling jobs, making Ron's life easier.
Oh, so much easier.
Ron's life deserves to be easier.
I need an easy button. That's for sure. Know what often helps make lives easier?
What?
Apps.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Apps.
I'm working on those segues, Jason.
Good work. That was pro. You've apparently been doing this for a while.
Longer than I want to admit. I think we all of us were crossing into that zone.
Don't go there. Come back.
Somebody I was talking to, I was actually at work talking to an intern, a youngin' or whatever, and I was talking about my podcast experience, and I mentioned the year I started podcasting, and the kid pointed out that he was barely in elementary school at that point. Like, oh God. It's at this point where podcasting as long as some people have like been alive and in the workforce, right?
Right. There's digital natives and then there's like podcast natives. They've just their entire life has existed while podcasts have existed. Yep, get used to it. Podcasts could be around for at least another 200 years, so don't worry about it. Fortnite for Android is now a thing. We kind of talked about it a little bit before, but there's a bunch of points that kind of follow along with this. Of course, Samsung had its short-lived exclusive, and then it kind of opened up to a large number of devices. But yes, absolutely, if you want to get Fortnite, you have to kind of go through Epic Games process in order to get it on your phone. You can't get it through the Play Store. I've been trying to get it on my Pixel, and I have it installed finally. You know, it's like a multi-step process. You got to go there and register for the account. Then they email you a link. Then you follow the link to download the installer. And then the installer launches, and it downloads the files. And then it launches the game. And then it tells you you have to wait to be authorized. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. So I haven't been able to really play it on my Pixel. But I'm waiting. I understand they got their thing going. The Play Store is apparently, according to Sensor Tower, going to miss out on about $50 million as a result of the Epic Games' decision to distribute the game itself. The beta process, like I said, takes a little bit of time. It's a little bit convoluted depending on the device that you're on. But Epic Games is kind of locking it down in a certain way. They're not accepting any modified APKs. They're really trying to crack down on anybody that's modifying the APK and giving themselves a heads up, or even a modifying APKs and passing it off as the real thing. And then somebody ends up getting, a nasty, nasty virus or some sort of, worse probably on their device. So they don't want that to happen. So they're not allowing these modified APKs to end up launching the game. And I think I even saw one floating around, like posted on Reddit about, hey, now you can run this on any device, not even just the devices that they cleared. And I think that's kind of what this is all about. You probably don't want to run that modified APK. Epic Games will actually cancel. I think they put like a lock on your account or whatever. So if you have any game stats built up, you would be locked away from all that stuff if that happens. So keep that in mind. They're also blocking root users. So if you're rooted, you won't be able to play the game. Yeah, hearing about subpar playing experiences through the game. I don't know. I'm kind of trying to figure out if I still care about Fortnite. I never did before. But I want to play it to check it out, but I'm kind of losing my energy on it. But Michael, you've played it. You said it was kind of so-so on the Note.
No, actually, it runs very well on the Note. It just powers through battery like you'd expect, and also the phone gets really hot because the cooling system does its thing. I didn't care one lick about it, and then I played it, and I haven't been in a rush to pick it back up after 15 minutes, but I get why people like it. It's easy to understand, yeah. And I understand why it's huge. I don't think distributing it outside the Play Store is a terribly smart decision for anyone, but
except
here we are.
Epic Games.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Epic Games knows what they have. They have gold. You know, they're printing money, right, basically, if they do this, especially, and they know that. So, but yeah. Yeah. I hope that it doesn't lead to more issues down the line, but
same. Yeah. Or set a precedent that makes this sort of, yeah. Anyway,
kind of the normal way to go.
Yeah. Well, luckily there's an alternative to Fortnite, and that's a game folks have been playing for a while on Android already. PUBG Mobile, and in fact they're doing players on older devices a little bit of a solid here by releasing a light version of the game. It's the same game throughout, except it caps the number of players to 40 instead of 100, and limits the size of the map. So it's the same game. They're just limiting the amount of data being pumped into the game by making a smaller map and less people. Right now, it's only available in the Philippines. But if you are savvy, you can sideload it. But be careful. Your mileage may vary. Careful sideloading things.
Yeah.
But it could be a sign of what's to come from PUBG Mobile to make a lighter version of the game. Or they're just doubling down on the rampant trend of it in the Philippines. So who knows?
Or making sure that they don't get lost amidst the Fortnite hype.
Yeah.
Although I don't know, right, just launching it in the Philippines, I doubt that was their
rush. Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. But I think that's smart, and I'm sure we'll probably see something, or maybe we'll see something similar to Fortnite. I think that's. I'm just kind of amazed about the fact, and maybe this shows my disconnection to the gaming world, because it's been a long time since I would classify myself as a gamer. But I'm amazed that we're at a point to where a game can coexist on the consoles, on desktops, and on mobile, and it's basically the same game that you can play across all of them, and it's free. I mean, and I realize there are other ways that they make money through in-app purchases, but man, you know, years ago that would have seemed like, why would any game maker ever even consider doing that? Yet here we are. If you don't have a console but you want to play arguably one of the hottest games that exists in the world right now, you can on your mobile phone, and it's a mobile version, but it still plays right along with the rest of them. It's just, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah,
it's a cool time to be alive.
Yeah. It makes my life so much better knowing that that's – it improves my life so much. We have an email from Chad Cornett who says, "Hey, AAA folks, love your show. Never miss an episode. Keep it up." Thank you, Chad. He says, "Stumbled upon this oddity in Android Assistant. While trying to resume playback of a podcast, I said, 'Okay, G, resume.' I received an odd voice and a different image alongside the commands I gave. It eventually went away. After some investigation, I found if I gave the following command, which is OKG Dirga's resume in Google Assistant, I was in an..." Oh, and it just did it on my assistant on my Pixel. "I was in an interactive resume of an Indian woman. Any idea what this is about? Hidden Easter egg, perhaps?" So, okay, I'm gonna show this off, and you can mute on your end if you don't want yours to fire off. But I'm gonna do it with a different one because I realized this is like a thing. So check this out. Okay, Michael's resume. Did it do it? Okay, what is suddenly? Oh, so it's just gonna kill my phone. Okay. Michael's resume. Now it's not working. Dang it. Here, let me try and get in here. And Michael's resume.
Let's get Michael's resume. "Hi, welcome to the Michael Resume app. As you can see on the
resume app,
the PDF, you have 10 questions to ask about Michael
Cooper
and his motivation to join Google. Let's get started. What is the first question?"
Is that
it's like an interactive resume, basically. And I think what happens is, like, coders, developers, whatever, if they want to give themselves a leg up, possibly to get a job at Google, they create an app, an assistant app, that showcases their resume so that they can then show that to Google.
Crazy.
I'm really happy I was able to get that working, but
that's crazy.
And so, although I tried asking this Michael's resume app many things earlier, and it wasn't able to answer a single thing. I was like, why do you want to work here? And it wouldn't tell me anything. But anyways, so apparently people are creating resume apps and putting it into Google Assistant, and they're just there waiting for you to know to ask for it. Who knows? Your next hire might come from Google Assistant.
Go or ZipRecruiter.com/Android.
Yes, or ZipRecruiter.com/Android. But anyways, I thought that was interesting. If you do Dear Guy's resume, you'll get another one of these. And I'm assuming there's a bunch of these. And you can actually go into the assistant kind of apps list where you can review and thing, review different assistant actions. And they're listed in there. Tons of resumes. Who knew? I had no idea. That's about it. That's all I had. Thanks, Chad, for sending that in. Very interesting. I don't think it's a Google Easter egg. I think this is just people trying to kind of set themselves apart. But it's a little strange, a little weird, but kind of smart. We're going to get into the Android App Arena here in a moment. Before we do, let's thank the final sponsor of this episode, and that is LegalZoom. It's a fact that most Americans don't have a will, if you can imagine that. 20 years ago, that wasn't a shocking statement. You had to find a trustworthy attorney. You had to pay him by the hour, and then they're going to draft your will. But these days, there's no excuse. LegalZoom has made it easy to create your own. That's why more than a million people have used LegalZoom for their estate planning needs. It's National Make-A-Will Month at LegalZoom.com, so now it's your turn to take care of your family, and you can take care and control of your assets with an estate plan. It starts with a will or a living trust, and if you don't know which one is right for you, that's not a problem. People kind of get confused with, like, which one do we go with? LegalZoom's network of independent attorneys will advise you on what's best for you and your family. Plus, LegalZoom's not a law firm, so you're not going to pay hourly rates. Make things a lot easier on your family for when you're gone. You want to think about this now. Check out LegalZoom's Last Will and Living Trust Estate Plans now during National Make-A-Will Month at LegalZoom.com. And make sure and use promo code AAA for special savings. That's LegalZoom.com. Use the code AAA for special savings. LegalZoom, where life meets legal. LegalZoom.com, promo code AAA. And we thank LegalZoom for their support of All About Android. And now it's time for the arena.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
Ooh, this was a close ballot last week. So we had, let's see here. It looks like Bubble UPMP wins 37%. I believe that was Miriam's app. Congratulations. Guests win again. The guests are on a roll. Second place is Ground. That was my app. It was the news app that kind of also sources people local to the area where news is breaking. That was 35%. And then Automatic, Modern Dad, Phil Nickinson brought in Automatic. That got a 28% of the vote. And then do we have the stats on this one?
Yes, we do. So Wade County in the chat room has chimed in with the stats there. After 32 weeks, guests are in the lead with 97 points. I'm in second with 79 points. Florence is in third with 72 points. And Jason, you're in last with 68 points. Oh, my friend, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I am two observations about this. I am one fascinated that Flo has caught up and is nearly in swinging distance of second place. And two, the guests are just running away with it this year.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, that now is nearly 20 points between me and the guests, and that's crazy. So.
Wade County has a good idea. We're going to stop inviting guests.
I know.
This just can't happen.
I know.
Not true.
Don't worry.
Not true.
I'll give you an opportunity to catch up tonight. Don't worry.
So let's see here. So that
so
means
I missed last week. Should I go first?
Okay, you go first. Sure.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, Jason, I'm not going to buy you a lot of time because mine requires a moving car to actually demo. So it's going to be very brief.
All right.
But my app is called Driving Detective. And basically what is it is an app that when active and all the when you load it up, the app screen just explains that using mobile devices while driving is really dangerous. Notifications grab your attention, explains what Do Not Disturb on Android is, and then it explains that Driving Detective automatically detects when you're in a moving vehicle and toggles Do Not Disturb on, silencing alerts for the duration of the drive. So if you turn that on and we give it Do Not Disturb access right
we allow it,
and go back to the app. All right, so now that it's on, when you start, when you get in your car and drive, it will turn Do Not Disturb on your phone. Now that said, you can give it some preferences. You can say Do Not Disturb a priority or alarms or total silence, and then you can control what the priority only controls are, what the exceptions are, what calls you're allowed to get through, what messages and things like that. But if you are someone who doesn't remember to turn Do Not Disturb on when you get in the car, all you got to do is install this app, turn it on once, set your preferences, and never and forget about it. And Driving Detective will protect you while you drive. So.
Nice.
That's cool.
It's like a smarter, like mute while you drive sort of function. I think I used to use Agent for this for the longest time.
So it keeps you honest and keeps you safe. That's what's most important.
Yeah.
So, it is. It's free in the Google Play Store. Driving Detective.
It's great. But especially because for, you know, a few years now, Google, you know, Android has been good at understanding what the motion is that, you know, it's detecting when you're actually driving. So it knows when you're driving just based on how the phone is moving through space. And so if it already has that information from a sensor, allow it to throw something like this on and keep you from looking at all of those notifications that are popping up there.
Yeah.
Driving Detective. That's a great app. Awesome choice. Okay. So let's let's let Michael go next.
All right.
And Michael, you're up next, and I have it installed for you.
Thank you, Jason. Speaking of sensors, this app is called Android Sensors. Mm-hmm. Unless you have already downloaded it, in which case it is now called Sensor Lab. I don't know why it has two names, but that just adds to the fun. Give it access to your phone's sensors, and you have this pretty awesome, what one reviewer described in the App Store as in the Play Store as an instrument panel for your phone, like an airplane. This is showing you all of the sensors your phone has in it that it has access to. So you've got accelerometer, you've got the light meter. If you hover your finger over the front-facing camera or the proximity sensor, you can see the proximity sensor go. And if you're listening to this, you get these live waveforms, which is really, really cool. The magnetometer, accelerometer, the even barometer. My Note 9 is showing a barometer reading of, about like partly cloudy. And if you tap on any of those, their sound level, you can get a big, you know, it maximizes the screen and shows you a little bit more information, not a lot. In a previous version of this app, you could hit record the entire array of stuff. Apparently now it works well on the Pixel running P, as we're seeing. It doesn't work well on Samsung phones. It crashes on record. But let's just pretend I didn't say that because I'd like to win. Oh, there you go. Did it crash?
Nice. It crashed when I hit stop.
Crash when you stop. But yeah. I think if you hit the corner button and say load recording, you'll find the recording is still in there. There it is. So, practical applications, I don't know. You can use your imagination. I've always loved the smartphone as a tricorder concept. I love direct access to data recorded locally, you know, not requiring my connection to the internet, just like, what can you tell about the environment around you, phone? And this app shows you all of it. And I love it. It is called Sensor Lab or Android Sensors. Take your pick, I guess. It is free.
That's cool.
You can pay. Yeah, that's you can pay to get rid of ads, but otherwise it's free.
I don't know what this map is. Oh, it's showing me.
It's showing you at 00, so maybe it didn't. It's not picking up your location. Yeah. It's showing my location, but pretty cool. That's the GPS, obviously.
Maybe I'm not where I think I am.
Mm.
My reality is not real. This is awesome. I love the layout of it, and I love being able to like dive into the different areas and kind of blow it up and see a zoomed in view of it as well. Very
cool.
Cool,
right?
Yeah, it's done really well. Android Sensors, a.k.a. Sensor Lab. All right. My app is a pretty short one, and it's one of those apps that's probably going to, you know, be targeted, well, definitely targeted at a small number of people right now. But sometimes, like, I just like apps like this because it's definitely a solution to some people's problems or preferences in this case. Chris Lacey, developer of Action Launcher, has a new app called Pixel Shortcuts. And really, it's a very simple, straightforward app that allows you to bring shortcuts for certain settings and features like digital well-being and dashboard into both your app tray and to your home screen as if they are their own launchable apps. Right now, if you have a Pixel 2 in this case and you have digital well-being installed, if you want to go into settings and actually do, you know, make any tweaks, you got to go into the settings, find it. It's not that difficult to get to, but it is a settings, you know, option. And so you have to kind of navigate to it through that settings tree. With the app Pixel Shortcuts, you tap it, you go ahead and show the icon for digital well-being, in this case, in the launcher app drawer. I have it toggled, but I'll go ahead and turn it off. And then I would turn it back on. That allows me to go into my app drawer. And let's see here. Where am I just suddenly blanking? Digital well-being. Why can I not spell? I know that it's in here. I saw it earlier. I'm thinking maybe when I removed it, I may have, like, throwing it off here. Am I just like not seeing it? I know it's here. I have too many apps, obviously. There it is. D. Duh. How many people were yelling at me like, you're not even a D? Well, for a second, I didn't see it initially, and I was like, well, maybe it's in under well-being. So there you go, digital well-being, and that'll take you right through to it. So it puts it right into your app drawer, and you can also add that as like the Pixel launcher settings as well, if you want those settings to be there so you don't have to dive into your settings, you know, in settings menu. You can just do that and, you know, you use the alphabet in order to find it. You can see everything kind of shifted over, and Pixel launcher settings are right there. And that'll take you right through, hopefully. But there you go. And then I could add the dashboard as well for digital well-being. It's a straightforward thing. It's not something that everybody necessarily is, you know, thinking that they need to do because it's available in settings. But if you want to simplify things, you can. And Chris Lacey, you know, he's a thoughtful developer. I like what he comes up with. And this is no different. Pixel Shortcuts, launcher digital well-being helper. I don't know, but I could see this being added to, you know, as other settings kind of happen over time to allow you to add more of those into your launcher if you want to have them there. So check it out, Pixel Shortcuts. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and create the short URL now and hope that I did it right. twit.to/AAApoll382 is where you go to place your vote for your favorite app this week. Is it Android Sensors, a.k.a. Sensor Lab? Is it Driving Detective or Pixel Shortcuts? Place your vote, and we'll check in on it next week.
Looking good.
There it is.
What's Mac and Josh going to... Oh, he can't vote.
No, why not? He's
logged
in.
No, I'm logged in on mine and not on... Or my Twit, I think, account instead of my personal account. I think my personal I could. I don't know. It's some weird thing like that.
If you could vote, though, Mac and Josh, what would you vote for?
Oh, man, you guys do this to me every time, and I always feel like...
Yeah, we do.
A lot of pressure.
Hot seat. You're in the hot seat, man. You're in the catbird seat.
Yeah.
I like Android sensors.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. This is pretty cool.
Not a bad choice. Not a bad choice.
It's a good thing your vote doesn't count, though. Although Android sensors is right now right on top at 50%. Only 6 votes in so far, but that will increase as it always does. And that, as they say, I think they say it anyways, is that Mr. Mobile, Michael Fisher, thank you for taking time out of your Tuesday night to join us. We always really appreciate it.
Always an absolute pleasure to hang with you guys. And I'm sorry I was a real jabbermouth today, but I had a lot to say. And thank you for letting me say it. You guys are the best. Thank you.
Dude,
it's great.
Being a jabbermouth is what it's all about. Well, we love having you on.
I can't tell you the emotional roller coaster I went on today, because it's like, all right, I'm coming back to the show. Oh, Flo can't make it. Oh, but Michael's on. I mean, just up and down today. But Michael, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. It's great talking to you about this stuff. And you carry a phone in your sock like I do, so that's awesome.
Good.
So,
you guys have a lot in common.
Yeah, HPP or Shoe Squad for life.
smelly phones you got there. So, Michael, what do you want people to know? Where can people follow all the awesome work that you're doing online?
It's pretty simple. The Mr. Mobile on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. THEMRMOBILE. I post new YouTube videos and new Instagram TV videos about as often as I possibly can.
Awesome. Definitely check it out. Your videos are always super high quality. You set a standard. You set a high standard for everybody else recording reviews and stuff. So very good stuff. Thank you again. Ron, what you up to?
Yes, I'm up to a lot, and I'm not up to a lot at the same time. It's crazy. You can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/RonXO, and I'm also on Instagram at RonXO over there. And yeah, I've just been working a lot, trying to stay cool in this hot summer, and not much to report in terms of the publicity standpoint. I'm glad I'm back. Looking forward to next week when we unveil our pie plans.
Oh boy, pie plans.
Oh yeah.
We gotta procure some pie plans. thanks, Ron. Mac and Josh, or the Mac and Josh.
Yeah. I'm thinking, I don't know if this conversation was in the show or before the show, but I'm thinking now I have to change, and maybe, Michael, maybe you're thinking the same thing, change the to DJ, right? That instantly, how much cooler are we going to be?
Absolutely.
Right?
DJ Mac and Josh, DJ Mr. Mobile, lighten up your turntables this Friday.
What was I thinking?
There it is. Hydrox Arena.
You might get a lot of propositions for parties and such, so be prepared.
Ready.
Right.
I've
right.
got my Red Bull.
Yeah, exactly. No, other than that, I just follow me on social media, the same name I was just saying, The Mac and Josh, MacinJosh, on Instagram, on Twitter, and my podcast too, Meeting Famous People. I got to do another episode though.
Yeah. So. You really need to get on that. It's a hamster wheel. Once you jump on, you can't jump off.
I know. What have I started?
Yep. I know. So many people, they start a podcast and then they realize, holy cow, every single week.
It's a lot of work.
Oh, boy.
I don't know how you guys do it.
Well, it's our job. It's what we
That's
do
true.
Here. It's what we do here. That's what Twit's all about. You can find me doing podcasts all over Twit, twit.tv, of course, all about Android, Tech News Weekly. You can find my music at yellowgoldmusic.com if you so choose. Before I do the end of show wrap-up stuff, I wanted to point this out. A couple of weeks ago, I put out on Twitter a link to all of the beta episodes and everything, the alpha and beta episodes that are posted on YouTube. Heard from a lot of people. One reply in particular, God's Toy on Twitter, dug into our beta episodes. And in beta episode two from January 31st, 2011, he found this nugget that Philly Data is the person that came up with the name All About Android when we were spitballing ideas long time ago. And sure enough, in a screen capture in the chat room, he was like, yes, I sent in that name. And and I went back and watched it. And what's interesting, so first of all, thank you to
That's
Philly
so
Data
funny.
Because I couldn't imagine the name of this show being anything else. Some of the other finalist names, there were two others that Eileen mentioned when we were talking about this. And tell me if you could imagine a world where this show was called Android Tomorrow or World of Android. I feel like they lack creativity. I'm really happy it ended up being all about Android.
But what about Android Today?
Well, yeah, that's true. Why?
Android Tomorrow.
Why tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? This is before, this is the episode before we brought you on, Ron, so you weren't there to talk some sense into it.
Yeah, I vaguely remember this discussion. So.
Anyways, thanks for sending that in, God's Toy, and thanks to Philly Data for naming this show. We do appreciate it. Twit.tv/bestof if you want to submit some best ofs. Yes, it's not too early to think about this. I've got to start working on it, if you can believe that, because the end of the year is going to be here before you know it. But that is it for this week. Leave us a voicemail, 347-SHOW-AAA. Send us an email, AAA@twit.tv. Find us on Twitter @AndroidShow. You can find our Arena apps list, every single app we've ever reviewed in the Arena, at twit.to/Android apps. You can also find show notes and past episodes at our home on the web, twit.tv/AAA. That's where you're going to go to find everything that you need to know about this show. And then if you just want to catch us live, we do lots of fun stuff before and after the show. And it's the unfiltered stream. Go to twit.tv/live every Tuesday starting at 5 p.m. Pacific. That's it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everybody. Do you want to do your tasting now?
Sure. Are we good? All right. So
I think if Josh is recording, yeah, we might as well do it. And Ron's got it this time.
All right. So I am the penultimate Oreo tasting is Rocky Road Trip. And thank you, Jason, for sending this to me.
Yeah. Not via Amazon this time.
Yeah, no. And it surprised me because I'm like, I don't know what this is. But so it is limited edition and it's always made with real cocoa.
Okay, good to know.
So that's good to know, too.
We just really need you to understand that there's real food in here. We'll tell you time and time again.
Also, according to the cover, it is cookie with marshmallow bits and Rocky Road flavored cream with soy nut inclusions.
Wow.
I don't know about you guys, but when I'm looking for my snacks, I look for soy nut inclusion.
That's going to be my next name at bar trivia. Yeah.
I'm a big fan of inclusions in my food. Any kind of inclusion. Right. That qualifies as inclusion.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm the only one to take this flavor, right, Jason? Yeah. You don't have this?
I failed. I really wanted to get to Target to pick up my package. And I did not have it shipped to me because I remember when people had lots of criticism about the fact that I shipped that one Oreo flavor kettle corn via Amazon. So
yeah.
I withheld and I just shipped to you because I couldn't hand deliver it to you.
So this smells like chocolatey goodness. I'm going to dive in. So what this looks like a rare, if you look at it, it's chocolate cream.
Okay.
And you don't often see chocolate cookie with chocolate cream.
Yeah.
In an Oreo. All right, I'm going to taste it now. All right, there are little flecks of marshmallow on the top. Yeah, that's weird. All right.
Are there walnuts inside?
I can definitely taste the soy nut inclusion.
How does the inclusion stack up to other inclusions that you've had in your food before?
It's a pretty good inclusion. Soy nut inclusion is my favorite rock band. This just tastes like a chocolate Oreo.
Oh, okay.
You're not getting any kind of any semblance of the original cream flavor? It's all chocolate?
It's all chocolate. What is Rocky Road flavored cream supposed to be?
I don't know. I mean, Rocky Road usually means a little bit of marshmallow. I mean, when you get the ice cream, it's like marshmallow, chocolate, walnut or something.
Yeah. Hmm.
Wow, so it's just kind of chocolate. I mean, that's not a bad thing.
I mean, it's overwhelmingly chocolate. I'm doing a second one, and I just opened it up, and that's just all chocolate with like that one little marshmallow fleck there at the bottom.
But there's darker inclusions in there. I think I'm spotting some inclusions.
Yeah, there are some inclusions. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to kick it out of my bed.
Okay.
That's for sure.
Don't eat cookies in bed, but anyways, yes.
But I don't know if it's living up to the advertising of this flavor.
It promises Rocky Road, but it doesn't deliver Rocky Road. It delivers chocolate, but not Rocky Road.
So I gotta ding it there. I gotta ding it. I gotta give it a 7.
Okay.
It's good. Don't get me wrong.
Could be worse.
Like I said, I'm not gonna kick it out of bed. But I don't get marshmallow. I'm not getting soy nut inclusion. I'm just getting overwhelming chocolate.
And it's not that you've had one cookie and that one cookie just happened to not have any marshmallow. You've had now two, and they both kind of follow the same format.
That's a 7.
Okay. Well, it is only limited edition. They haven't decided this is a lock forever and ever. So,
I would have liked a little more marshmallow.
Yeah.
Give me a marshmallow center to the cream or something.
Yeah, totally. Like marshmallow swirls. Would be good.
Oh, man. I was at Dunkin' Donuts not long ago, and I saw a s'mores-flavored donut.
Yes.
With all kinds of chunks on top with marshmallow, chocolate, and gravy. I took all of my willpower not to.
by 40.
What time in the morning was this?
This was 6 at night.
Oh, okay, all right. If there's a time of day that something like that probably makes more sense, it's probably 6 at night. But we have a new Dunkin' Donuts here in town. Actually, they just call it Dunkin' now, apparently. And usually once a week I will take my girls. I have taken my girls to get a donut before school. It's just kind of like a regular thing we do. And the Dunkin' Donuts moved in. I'm like, all right, well, let's check it out because apparently everybody loves Dunkin' Donuts. And I mean, half the stuff there is basically a candy bar that masquerades as a donut. Not that donuts are like good for you, but this is like over the top.
Well, Michael, you're in New England, aren't you?
I'm in the epicenter of the Dunks region. I'm in Boston.
You're in Dunkin' Center. I will say that there is only one Boston cream donut to rule them all, and that is a Dunkin' Donuts Boston cream donut. And
there's no disputing.
And no offense, Michael, I hate Boston, and yet I love me that donut.
No offense.
Hey, man, it's 6 months out of the year, I hate it too, so that's totally fine.
Dunks.